Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunters podcast. I am Chris Tidball, your host, and I am here with Michelle Pointuri, who is the director of workers' comp at Marshall Dennehy. Right? Did I get all that right?
You got it right.
Okay. Well, welcome, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your role at Marshall Dennehy.
All right. Well, my role actually started when I was a law clerk.
Okay.
Helping myself get through law school. And then I was hired and I continued to excel. And Marshall Dennehy, we are an Am 200 law firm. We have about 513 lawyers, 1,200 people divided into four different departments, one of which is workers' comp, professional liability, casualty, and healthcare. So I was given a lot of opportunities because I had a good work ethic and the firm supported me in that regard. It was
right.
The culture is quite amazing. Culture being everyone collaborative, everyone, of course, working together and helping each other succeed in providing resources and opportunities. So with that, I continued to grow. Eventually associate, then a shareholder, then a director of our workers' comp department. And I'm also a member of our board of directors.
Okay. Wow. That's great. I mean, that's quite a move up in a really, really well-respected law firm. So work comp, it seems like, you know, we see a lot of it. There's no question. You know, what types of cases are you typically dealing with that end up in litigation?
I would say so that it's those cases where people are filing a claim petition where they're seeking workers' compensation,
right.
But then those that are on workers' compensation and we're trying to get them off workers' compensation and back into the workforce.
Right.
So that's generally what we handle, but we represent self-insured employers, all kinds of employers. That's our clients, but we work with TPAs, insurance companies, obviously, to limit our exposure. And that's where we get into litigation by trying to limit exposure.
Yeah, it seems like there's kind of like these competing priorities out there. It seems like you've got the employer, right? Then you've got the injured worker who may or may not be injured. We just don't know. And then if there's a, tortfeasor out there, they oftentimes have a tort case that, well, that attorney probably doesn't want them going back to work because he wants them treating with the doctor. In some states, I know, we intervene. California, I think, is one. I don't think you can do that in most states. But, how does that work, right? You've got your firm on one side, you've got employer, injured party, then your plaintiff attorney on the other side. I mean, how do you sort through all that?
Well, it is balancing because we also, from the defense perspective in comp, have to sometimes balance the employer who's our client.
Right.
Then you're working with their third party administrator, and then you also have a carrier. So sometimes you have all three of them who sometimes are all on the same page, have right. different interests, but you have to balance those interests. And that's how you help everyone by collaborating with each other to limit exposure. Then you have that extra entity, which is sort of the third party litigation,
right.
whereas we would be entitled, at least in Pennsylvania, to recover on that a certain percentage mm-hmm. if they are successful. So that is a competing interest, but we work through it and it works.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does work. It's surprising with that many people involved, that many different parties, that many, the competing interest. So what are you seeing like trend wise out there in the world of work comp? What's going on?
The biggest trend we see is the exorbitant medical expenses.
Yeah.
And the treatment, the nature and extent of treatment in it ongoing. So we're trying to obviously get a handle, at least legislatively in Pennsylvania. I know we're working with a lot of people, policymakers, and obviously politicians, and to control those costs or at
right.
least put a limit on some of those costs, the creams and the various amount of medications that are so
Oh, yeah.
exorbitant, and they're ongoing. There's
Right.
never a limit. It's at some point, it's no longer doing anything. It's not a benefit to the
Right.
employee, but the costs keep growing and growing and growing. So I would think that is the biggest trend. Another trend is attorney fees on medical bills. So at least in Pennsylvania, there was an 80, the claimant employee would get 80% of the benefits. The attorney gets 20%
Okay.
just on the wage loss benefits. But in Pennsylvania, we see the attorneys also getting 20% on the medical bills.
Oh, wow.
So, which can be very cumbersome from a carrier or third party administrator because it's every single bill you need to monitor.
Right. Well, and so it seems like, let's say I'm an injured employee and I go hire the attorney on the back of the bus, and I'm told to go to a certain doctor, and I'm told to treat for this long. I'm sent for multiple diagnostic procedures because those really help to run up your medical bills. Some people need it, some people may not. How do you control things like that? Is there a way to even control that?
Well, I mean, I only practice in Pennsylvania, so there's different rules, regulations, law that applies to each state. But in Pennsylvania, we try to control that with a utilization review process.
Okay.
So we can challenge the reasonableness necessity of medical treatment.
Okay.
So we do that often, and that goes before, a hearing officer, and then we litigate that and bring in our experts. They have their experts, and then we battle it out.
Okay.
And hopefully we win. But
Yeah.
that's one way, but closely monitoring the medicals. And I think at the get-go, from a comp standpoint, the employer being sort of an advocate and working with the employee at the onset of any injury, sort of an advocate in a positive way, getting them to the right medical
Right.
providers, being assistant, being helpful, makes a difference
Oh,
to
yeah.
control their exposure from the beginning before it even gets to litigation.
Right.
But then once it gets to litigation, it's our role as an attorney to help limit that exposure. And that's how we do that with the
Okay.
medical treatment.
So, Pennsylvania, obviously, Philadelphia is a very big city, biggest city in the state, I believe. And they've got a bit of a reputation for some fraudulent activity now and again. You've got to have some good stories.
I do have some good stories. I have one particular story from a fraudulent standpoint of a case that I had. We do surveillance,
Okay.
and we'll do, social media check first, and then we see if there's any activity, then we send out surveillance. This was a few years ago. So I happened to get unemployment records. I always get unemployment records, subpoena them because sometimes they reveal some information.
Yep.
So it indicated to me this gentleman had multiple employers, which we were not aware of. He was on comp. So I immediately subpoenaed all those records and found out he had four or five jobs, was receiving wage loss benefits from us from a comp standpoint because of an injury, had subsequently gone back to work with all these various different employers and
Oh.
also getting paid at the same time. So we had some great surveillance of him working on the one day at the construction site, hard hat, lifting ladders, climbing things. And so that was sort of one of my favorite cases in catching someone, and we submitted that to the district attorney's office. So that
Okay.
went that direction, but we were able to recoup a lot of that money.
So now it's great that you did that. And great investigation. You sent it to the district attorney's office. Did they do anything with it?
I don't know that whole story. I
Okay.
believe they worked it out
Okay.
with the gentleman. Didn't necessarily prosecute, but worked it out with a return of some of the money.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's.
Because sometimes, often with their schedules, they don't, it depends upon the amount of money that's at
Oh,
stake.
sure.
And this was in excess of $200,000, which to me was a lot of money.
It sounds like a lot of money. I mean, at the end of the day, work comp premiums are high, and when you've got fraudulent activity, that just drives them higher. And I mean, what do they say? 10% of all claims are an outright fraud. I
They
mean,
do say that, and I would, it's hard to prove it
yes.
at times. It's very hard to prove because they have to have intent.
Right.
And sometimes they come up with a really good explanation for certain activities.
Right.
But we still push forward when we see that there's something like that. We had an incident, wasn't my file, but one of our other attorneys, it was a COVID test that someone provided to not go to an independent medical examination. And the COVID test itself was not, it was actually something they found on the internet. So it wasn't a, it was positive, but it wasn't a real test. It was rather interesting. So that was a fraudulent activity there. So things like that, we try to prosecute.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's good that you're looking at people's social media, because it is amazing what people will put up there. You know,
Absolutely. And what the risk.
they're hurt. You know, they're hurt when they have to go in front of the judge and the jury, but they're out bungee jumping the weekend before. So,
Exactly.
you know, so it's interesting to follow along. I think that's pretty smart, because they say, I believe the number is about 2/3 of social media profiles are public, right? So when you go into
Correct.
social media, you can set privacy settings so only like your family and friends can see what you're doing. But a lot of people in the look at me generation are like, hey, you know, let's let everybody, you know, everything goes out instead of to family and friends, it goes out globally. So anybody anywhere can potentially see what you're doing, which is, I mean, it's bad, but I mean, I guess from an investigation standpoint, it's good.
It's good. And now with AI, what the investigators, the advancement with AI and what they're able to capture on someone's activities, whether or not they have it private or not private, they can gather that information. So we shall see what that'll bring in the next 5 years.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, I mean, a lot of things are going to happen with AI, right? I mean, it's got its good, it's got its bad. I think there's so much that's just to be determined. You know, I mean, and
Exactly.
on one hand, I mean, it can make, you know, life super easy. On the other hand, it can like complicate things. It can, you know, we don't know what it's going to do to the job market. But, you know, I think, you know, we were talking about this on on an earlier segment today. You know, when things like the assembly line came about, when the computer came about, it's like, you know, where are the jobs going to go? All the jobs are going to be gone. But it's like, it seems like every time that happens, new jobs get created, right?
Exactly.
Because you're gonna need something to have some constraint around the AI. We just maybe don't even know what those jobs look like yet.
And we all adapt, right? We adapted after COVID with that change. And so we'll have to do the same thing with AI.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in our worlds, you know, I'm on the, you know, on the insurance side, the legal side, it seems like there's definitely the need for people. I mean, AI can help to make us more productive, but I think that there's always, at least for the foreseeable future, there's that human interaction, because, you know, every claim's different.
Exactly.
And I don't know, you know, that AI can adapt, you know, that fast.
And I think, as I was telling you earlier, before we began this, that hu human element, we still need an aspect of that human element.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. And if someone wants to look up your firm, how would they do that?
They would look up Marshall Dennehy,
Okay.
www.marshalldennehy.com, or they can contact me directly.
Okay.
And my direct dial is 215-575-2724.
Great. Great. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
And thank you again for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.